Beaky Bikes is tapping into a matching federal fund program to expand its bike stations this summer. Bike Share Hawaii runs the Honolulu-based bike rental program, and Executive Director Lori McCarney wants your input on where some of those new stations should go.
What we want to do is create a large list of places that are possible, then take those out to the community, let the community help us vet those locations, and then be able to, with confidence, go ahead and order the equipment and roll it out.
Okay. And so how different will this be compared to the initial rollout a year ago?
So what will be different right now is that people will know what we're talking about. It was very difficult to get people's attention last time because it was sort of like, what are you talking about? So now we know that people know what a Beaky Stop is. And so if they think this is going to be positive or it's going to be negative, we have the chance to talk to them about that specifically and not spend all of our time trying to explain what a bike share system is.
Okay, so where are the locations that you're looking? What are the parameters?
Yeah, so the areas that we're looking at right now are just taking our current service area, which is from Chinatown to Diamond Head, and then expanding around the edges, some of the places that we haven't reached. So Ivalei, for example, if you've been in that area, you'll see that there's new bike infrastructure around there, and there's some great destinations, including Dole Cannery. There's a lot of offices in there. Too. So that's one area that we're looking at. We're also looking at Makiki. Makiki feeds downtown. There's just a lot of density, a lot of apartments up there. And it feeds downtown and also feeds UH. So UH is the other. We are looking and finalizing our agreement with UH to have 5 to 6 Beaky Stops at UH Manoa. And then I should have mentioned in Ivalei also at Hawaii Community College.
And so initially, I think when we last talked, you said, UH has some issues with hills, and you weren't sure if, you know, the folks were going to make the trek down, but maybe wouldn't bicycle back up to Manoa.
Well, yeah, we still may run into that. But part of putting it up there is also them providing the density to have the station, the paths to the station, so it's not just one station in an area. So how we address that is the station density. When people say, why do you have so many stations in this area? It's exactly for something like that. If we had one station at UH Manoa, it could be very difficult because we couldn't keep the bikes in and out if in fact everybody rode downhill and not uphill. But if we have a number of stations, then it's something we can more readily manage.
Okay. And then any other challenges that you foresee in expanding to these particular areas?
Yes, the same challenges that we had before. The challenge is being that our preference is to put a Beaky Stop on wide sidewalks and not, you know, have enough space so that we clear ADA requirements. If we can't do that, then going into restricted parking spaces, and we learned about restricted parking doesn't mean that people don't park there. And then parking spaces as a last resort. Private properties, we're also pursuing private property agreements. So in those situations, I think we definitely have gotten a lot of requests for stations in different areas. And so at the tough balance is balancing the needs of the people for parking cars when we know parking is tight, but also then meeting the needs of people who want to use an alternative mode of transportation and providing that to them.
And then did you make any changes to the sites that you rolled out initially? Did you, let's say, give up some more of the parking spaces or give it back, I should say?
Initially, it was very difficult. The conversations were hard, and people said, "Boy, Lori is so stubborn, and you know, doesn't want to change anything." And the point was just to try to give them a chance to be able to build their ridership. And so we see in a lot of the spaces where there was some question about them that their usage is really high. And so if it was, let's say, if we took 2 parking spaces, and on average, that parking space, you know how people will camp out in a parking space. We're able to actually then with 15 docks see people go in many, many different times of day, so we can serve more people in that area. So one of the things that we've gained is people who support it, who use it, and are ready to stand up and say, I don't want to lose that Beaky Stop because I depend on it.
And what about the issues that you faced over at Kapi'olani Park? Do you see that getting ironed out where you might be able to put Biki bike stops there, or is that just kind of in limbo for a while?
Well, that's something that we're trying to determine. Is we know that there's a difference of opinion about what Biki is to different folks there, but we also know that we see it as transportation. That's how it's being used. 65% of our 65% of our riders are residents, and in Kapi'olani Park, right now, since there's no locations, Biki stop locations in Kapi'olani Park, residents can't really use it to go to Kaimana Beach or go to the tennis courts or, you know, or go to the Shell, right, because there's no place to dock the bike. So we've had a lot of requests for Kapi'olani Park, and so we're having discussions with various people right now to see if we can serve it.
Does it have to go to court to get ironed out or not?
No, it doesn't have to go to court to get ironed out. It's really, I believe it's a matter of people coming together and determining what the right course of action is.
You mentioned that 65% of your riders are residents. I think a lot of folks initially thought that more tourists were going to take it.
Yeah, and I know when I ride Biki, they think I'm a tourist. And I think that's one of the things that's hard to tell. But because I live downtown, I see a different ridership than somebody who may live in another neighborhood. So I think it's one of those things. So it's not our members, it's of the rides, which is what we thought. So from rides, for example, I ride 2 to 4 to 6 to 8 times a day on Biki. So I'm taking a lot of trips. I'm using it for those short trips. And so out of those rides, we know the use is mostly residents.
What about the money aspect of it? If it's more expensive for the tourists because they're more likely to just walk up rather than get the passes, how are we doing that? Does it pencil out?
Yeah, well, you know, we haven't really found it. We're a nonprofit, and it's really confusing for people because I know that they've told me, wow, we see so many people riding, you must be making a lot of money. Well, that's not the case. Because we have more residents riding and because we designed our pricing to be affordable, $15 a month is unlimited rides for a month. And so for me, if I take 50 rides in a month, you know, it doesn't matter. I'm still paying $15. So that's fine. Donations and support is very important to us from the standpoint of our financial sustainability. And then the other thing is the fare revenue covers operational cost, maybe, you know, getting close. And so we want to have high quality operations. We want to have safe bikes. We want to have them clean. We want to have the technology and the call center and all of those kinds of things. So that's coming along. It's not fully covering, but as we're seeing more ridership, then we expect that it will.
Okay. And then the issue of whether you'll be able to get more donors. I know there was a question as to whether the little signs you had on there was advertising or not. And I know at the time you talked about, well, we could have sold advertising at the Biki stops, but you thought that might be a little bit much based on our laws, our billboard laws.
Yeah, signage laws here do not allow us to do any advertising and on the stations. And I still see that the support that's shown on our bikes really supports sponsors. So we're asking for a major donation from top companies, and we're holding that to 5 companies. My personal thought is that we don't want them to be billboards. We want to demonstrate the business community's support for Biki, and that's one way to do it, is limit it to 5 companies and let them really leverage that into their employee bases, into the things that they do for health or sustainability reasons or what have you.
Okay. And then as far as theft, or, you know, what are the issues that you folks, what have you learned since you've been in business?
Yeah, so we learned some interesting things, that a lost bike is not necessarily a lost forever bike. We've had calls that, you know, bikes found in lost and founds, and or calls to go pick up a bike somewhere. So out of our 1,000 bikes, we're like, it's a point in time thing because they're not lost forever. So I know at the end of the year, there were 6 bikes that were missing. And so out of 1,000, that's pretty darn good. And I bet that they'll show up again.
Lori McCarney is the executive director of Bike Share Hawaii, which operates the Biki bike sharing service in Honolulu. The program launched in the summer of 2017 and will expand with new Beaky stops this summer. For links on how to weigh in, you can check the conversation page at hawaiipublicradio.org.